So welcome everybody. This is the monthly mindfulness coaching call at the Mindfulness Coaching School. And today is April 3rd, 2023. So good to see everybody. Hi, Christy. Hi, Marianne. Sophia. Yeah, good. Excellent. And Cheryl, I see your name there. I don't see a face, but Cheryl, I'm glad you're here too. Okay, so just take a moment. Everybody take a moment and check in and rate yourself, your current state, on a 1 to 10 scale, where 1's not so great, maybe anxious, maybe just blah, and 10 is the best you've ever felt. 1 through 10. So, and just take note of what that number is. Make a mental note. Okay? Everybody got that? Yeah, good. Okay. So let's go ahead and start with a mindfulness exercise, as we always do here at the Mindfulness Coaching School, to help us settle into truly being here. Okay, so either close your eyes or soften your gaze downward. And let's just start with breath. Nice inhale through the nose and exhale deep and slowly through your mouth, allowing that jaw to drop just a little. Yeah, inhale again. Imagine that you're breathing in new life. And when you exhale, let all that does not serve you fade away. Good. Taking in another breath, and with the exhale again, letting go of anything that does not serve you. Great. I'd like to invite you to see yourself relaxing by a beautiful, calm lake. The breeze softly blows over the lake, and you watch the thousands of tiny ripples it creates on the surface. Your surroundings here are so calm and pleasant. It brings feelings of complete peace that washes over you. Breathe in deeply, allowing that peacefulness to fill you, noticing maybe birds singing or chirping softly in the trees. Noticing any worries, disturbing thoughts, or feelings you might have, allowing them to float up, out, and away. Floating far away and letting go of anything from today that has bothered you. Knowing that you can choose to allow all that does not serve you to leave, freeing up space in your heart and mind for positive things to come. Choosing to focus on positive, to bring even more positive experiences in, releasing any negative thoughts serves like an umbrella on a rainy day. Sure, the rain is there, but it doesn't have to affect you. Know that you have all you need within you to move into a growth mindset, choosing to embrace challenges, choosing to persist when it gets tough, seeing effort leading to mastery, choosing to learn from feedback and finding lessons and inspiration in the success of others. Again, choosing to release all that does not serve you. Remember, you have a choice in what you believe. Your mind is your greatest asset and your best tool. Now taking in a deep breath, allowing good feelings to fill up your heart and your mind, peacefulness and calm all around you. And with two more full breaths, and whenever you're ready, bring your attention back to our virtual room. Nice stretch, Michael, yes. Yeah. So do an internal check again on that number, 0 to 10, 10's the best ever. See if there's any change in that number. Just kind of be curious about that. Okay? Just kind of take a look at that. That's part of what we talk about when we're talking about using EMDR in coaching. One of the things that we're looking at is state change. And what we did there with a guided mindfulness exercise, sometimes I find people really notice a big shift in their state of being. Right? Okay, so I want to start now by introducing myself. Hi, everybody. My name is Sherry Felton. I live in Tucson, Arizona, sunny Tucson. It's been beautiful lately, but I work with folks all over the world. I'm an instructor here at the Mindfulness Coaching School. I'm an ACC, Associate Accredited Certified Coach through the ICF. I'm also an LPC, Licensed Professional Counselor here in the state of Arizona. I specialize in working with performers, mostly with athletes, some with some clinical presentations, many others coming to just learn, not just, but to learn the mental skills that we know are necessary for high achievement. I originally learned EMDR back in 2008 as part of my master's professional project. My project was a case study using EMDR for performance. So I've been using EMDR for quite a while, and now EMDR is certified and have been using EMDR for many years. So I want to check in with you now. How many are here? Just raise your hand. How many are here for the first time? Or you can either, yeah, raise virtually. Yeah, quite a few newcomers. Welcome. Yes, good. Yeah, okay. Excellent. I'm so glad to see some new faces. Great. Is anybody here trained in EMDR? No. Okay, so this is pretty new for everybody. Great. Awesome. Kind of helps me to know, you know, who I'm talking to out there, right? All right, so this call is an opportunity for the school community to reconnect and also to welcome new people as well. I hope you enjoy this call tonight. Hopefully you'll get something out of it. And I'll stay behind after class if anybody has any questions about the school that I might be able to answer, or any questions about even the call, that's fine too. So I plan to talk tonight for a bit about using EMDR in the coaching world. And then the plan is, from that point, is to do a demo. I'm going to need a volunteer for that. So be thinking about that. If you've got something you'd like to be coached on, you know, one of the apps that we look, applications for EMDR that we learn in the TRIO class, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit, is using EMDR to help somebody change a habit. So if you've got a habit that you're trying to, you know, change and it's just not going too great and you don't mind being coached here, I'd love to work with you in this call. So think about it. Otherwise, we'll just open it up and we'll just shoot from the hip on whatever comes up. I'm sure we can find a use for EMDR with whatever is brought up. Okay, so after the demo, then I'll open it up for questions. Okay, so if you have questions, if you have not a great memory like me, jot them down on a piece of paper so you don't forget. But I'd love to hear whatever questions or even comments that you might have. Okay, so here we go. EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization Reprocessing, and it was developed in the late 80s by Francine Shapiro as a new treatment that helped people alleviate the distress associated with traumatic memories. Since then, EMDR has been expanded and used in many different areas and is also now used in the coaching and performance realm. Okay, so I want to stop for a minute and explain the definition of performance, because I think sometimes that word performance turns people off. Like they think, oh, no, I'm not a performer. No, right? They think of elite athletes or maybe those top-notch musicians or, you know, people like that, right? But here's what Oxford Dictionary describes as one of their descriptions of performance, one of their definitions. The action or process of carrying out or accomplishing an action, task, or function. That's it. Sound familiar to anybody? Anybody ever set a goal, right? They were trying to carry out or accomplish an action. Why do coaching clients come to see us? Usually it's because they're stuck needing some kind of support, making a change, because for whatever reason, they haven't been able to carry out, accomplish an action, task, or function, right? So you can kind of look at them all as performers in a way. Okay, so basically something in their lives isn't working for them. They usually have an idea of what they want, where they want to be, but are stuck and don't know how to get there. So in a way, we're all performers. So back to this thing called EMDR, which by the way, I refer to as my power tool. And I want to add in here that, you know, because EMDR was developed originally to use with folks that have experienced traumatic experiences, that's not our application. That's not how we're using it in coaching. We are not using it here in the Mindfulness Coaching School for anything other than enhancing positive, to reinforce positive, to build internal strengths that are already there. And it might, you know, sometimes folks think, I don't have any internal strengths. What internal strengths are you talking about? That's the coach's job, right? Is to help them find those internal resources that are already there. Okay. So from that framework, we got to remember too, you know, from a coaching framework, we look at our clients as creative, resourceful, and whole. And that is really important to understand from that framework in coaching, right? The clients that I work with, I usually start out by teaching them the specific, very specific mental skills that we know are necessary for high achievers. But sometimes that isn't enough, and that's when I pull out my power tools, one of them being the main one I go to is EMDR. In the class that I teach at the Mindfulness Coaching School, we pair up EMDR with both positive psychology and coaching to form a very powerful dynamic trio. That's the name of the class, right? And we touch on what is coaching with a review of coaching skills. We also touch on flow theory, since performers need to have an understanding of why and how to change state, which can also be done using EMDR. We also learn about mindset, the difference between a growth and a fixed mindset, and the steps to take to move into that growth mindset. Coaching students will also learn how to pair EMDR with positive psychology signature strengths to help them become unstuck, to help them move closer to what they really want for themselves. There's many more other EMDR applications also taught in that dynamic trio class. So for today, bringing us to today, I want to teach you first about self-tapping. So one of the main tools, one of the main premises of EMDR is this thing called bilateral stimulation. Bilateral meaning both sides of the nervous system, right? Bilateral stimulation is, you know, there's a lot of theories about how it works or why it works. What we know, you know, that the most common theories is that it accesses a processing part of our brain that opens it up for new information. Okay. There's also a calming effect on the nervous system that bilateral stimulation has as well. And there's three different types of bilateral stimulation that's used in the EMDR world. Some people will use eye movement, and that's most common for the standard protocol of using it in a clinical presentation. What we're going to be doing and what I teach is tapping, or the tactile method. The third part of bilateral stimulation, or the third one, would be auditory, where you listen to sounds or music or both going back and forth from one ear to the other. So that bilateral stimulation piece is an important part of EMDR. So I want to teach you all the self-tapping. And it's really simple. So I'd like you all to give this a try. Here's the thing with, you know, the only rule about self-tapping is if it ever feels uncomfortable, just stop. That's it. If it doesn't feel comfortable, don't do it. It's okay. I'm going to teach you two different ways. The first one's called the butterfly hug. And so what you do is you cross your wrists, link your thumbs together, and then just gently lay your hands here, like on your collarbones. And you can unlink your thumbs if that feels uncomfortable. And the tapping is done bilaterally at a pace that feels comfortable. It doesn't have to be super hard. So you just go back and forth, nice and slow. All right, whatever pace feels right for you. This is called the butterfly hug. Some people love this. They feel like, oh man, it feels like I'm giving myself a hug. It feels comforting. Some people say this feels really ridiculous. I don't want to do that. That's fine. The other method is simply just putting your hands on the tops of your thighs and tapping back and forth. And I've got my earbuds in. Can anybody hear my thighs? Can you hear the sound? Yeah. That's an important piece. Great. Thanks for that feedback. That's an important piece for, you know, when I'm working, I only do virtual work. So if they're tapping on their thighs, I love if it's as long as it's comfortable for the client, it's great if I can hear that, because I'm not going to be able to see it. Not unless they're bringing their hands way up like this, you know, which we could do that. But it's helpful for me to be able to know that, you know, yes, they are actually tapping. Again, it's got to be okay for the client. That's more important than, you know, their client's comfort level in my mind is more important than mine for this purpose. Okay. I might just check in a little bit more often with them. Okay, so that's the BLS, the bilateral stimulation piece of the type of EMDR that we're going to be doing here. All right. So, as I said, I kind of like to work with somebody on a habit. Does anybody have a habit they'd like to change and be coached on today? If not, that's okay. We can just go with anything anybody has a desire to be coached on, and we'll just shoot from the hip. Leisha. Yeah. So
hi, Shannon.
Hi, so good to see you. If I could ask everybody else to just drop their video so that the only two people you see on the screen would be Leisha and myself, that would be lovely. And I'm going to pin you because I don't need to see me. So good to see Alicia.
You too. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice reminder.
Yeah. So, establishing, well, let's just jump in. Okay. Whatever comes up. Okay. So do I have your permission to coach you today?
You mean the thank you.
Absolutely. So I coach through the ICF code of ethics, and part of that code is confidentiality. And I will not break confidentiality unless I have the knowledge that you may harm yourself or someone else. And also, please know that this session is being recorded and your colleagues are listening in. So this is not completely confidential. Please remember that as you share. Does all of this sound okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. So is there a habit that you have in mind that you'd like to be coached on? Or if not, what would you like to be coached on today?
Well, this is sort of a yes. So something came immediately, which is it's a sort of a habit. I moved out of a career, a stressful career in the fall, and I've been doing coaching. And then I kind of dove into business planning and being busy still. I kept myself very busy through the fall, and I realized after Christmas I really needed to rest. I needed to take that time. So I've been on rest time for the last few months now. Yeah. And I'm wanting to shift back into structured work mode at home.
Yeah.
Without putting in those old habits of workaholic, long working too long. Like, I want to incorporate this new way of taking care of myself and resting. And so I have to break the old habit of diving in and hyper focusing.
Yeah.
But I do need to come back to my desk, and I'm finding that I would rather go nap or pot plants or do all of what I've been doing while resting than come and sit at my computer, unless I have scheduled things. I'm loving all the scheduled stuff, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is it sounds like you want to break the habit of over focusing on work so that you have a new habit of a healthy work balance. Is that
Yeah.
How would you describe the healthy habit?
Enjoying working at my desk as much as I enjoy doing anything else.
Okay.
But spending as much time here at my desk as I need to.
Okay. Without overdoing going it. Into the old habit of too much.
Yeah.
Okay. So enjoying working at desk with balance, with good balance. Does that
sound? Yeah, balance is a good word for it. Sure.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So do you happen to know your top five signature strengths off the top of your head?
I do.
But if you can let me know those, I'll jot them down. We may want to incorporate. We may not need them, but it's always nice to have them.
Love of learning.
Yeah.
Perspective. Creativity. Curiosity. And appreciation of beauty and excellence.
Okay, let me repeat them back just to make sure I have them. Love of learning, perspective, creativity, curiosity, and appreciation of beauty and excellence.
Yes.
Did I get that? Beautiful. Okay. Okay, so by the end of our time together, where would you want to be with being able to enjoy work at your desk with a good balance? What would need to be different by the end of our time together?
What would need to be different would be a strong commitment to the structure that I've laid out already that I feels balanced. I feel like the time constraints, the time that I've put on being at the desk is healthy, and it would also be productive.
Okay.
So it's the commitment to it is what it is.
Okay.
Strongly committed.
A new commitment, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you think of your signature strengths, take a second first before you do that. Breathe in, exhale, imagining, emptying out all that's not needed. Inhaling deeply and then exhaling again. Good. Now, which of those five signature strengths do you think might most help with changing this habit?
There's a few of them are coming up. They're kind of bubbling around. Mm-hmm. Curiosity, mm-hmm. Love of learning, and appreciation of beauty and excellence.
Okay.
Well, and then creativity comes in there too. So I'm sorry, it's not just one. So it's, but you know what? Creativity is probably the one. No,
I was going to say, if you go into your heart of hearts, right, and you think about them and think about the new commitment that you want, which one of them resonates the most?
Yeah, creativity.
Creativity. Okay, there we go. Okay. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is remember a time when you felt creative.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? What are you saying to yourself when you remember that time? What are you saying to yourself about yourself?
Not very much. Actually more of a sense of flow than anything. It's like channeling.
Okay.
Like the inspiration comes and then the creativity part just happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's like channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you think about being in that space and the feelings that go with it, where do you feel it in your body?
Ooh, I kind of feel it through my whole body, right down to my toes.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like every part of me is engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all righty.
It's a good feeling.
Just keep, breathing into that strength. Imagine you're breathing right into the middle of that energy field. Anything else that you notice that you're experiencing about this strength?
It also takes some structure and skills to be in that sense of flow. So it's like a trust that I have that I will know what's needed in the moment.
So it's a lot of thoughts came up there that came away from your body, but it almost, what I'm hearing, and correct me if this doesn't sound right, that I trust myself.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So go back to that energy of being in that place where you're remembering the last time that you were creative, how it felt in your body, all the way down to your toes. Let's start tapping. Along with those words, I trust myself. Pause the tapping, take a deep breath in. Good. What are you noticing now about that strength?
Yeah, it's about the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so go ahead.
Yep, immediately what came up actually when I started tapping was that I want it to be fun. So it's more like wanting it to be joyful or fun or energized somehow.
Okay.
To sit and do that, this work. So it's like an energy flow. And yes, it's about trusting, but it was kind of like my body kind of went, well, duh. We really want it to be fun. It really should be more. Yeah. Well, because it's not, I'm not telling myself that I don't trust myself when I sit down to work. It's not.
Okay. It's not a trust. That's not the right.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
But something around it needs to be fun.
Yeah. And I think that thing of pushing so hard to work.
Yeah.
It's related to the energy flowing easily rather than having to push at it, having to make it happen. As opposed to within this time,
letting it flow.
Yeah. That's the fun or ease or flow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And the creativity comes out of being in that state. Like it just will. That's the trust.
Okay. So let's go back to that feeling of creativity and letting it flow. I can let it flow. Does that sound like the right words?
Yes.
Great. Go ahead and start tapping. Notice where you feel it in your body. Notice maybe if there are any emotions that go with it. Deep breath in and pause tapping. Good. What did you notice about creativity that time, along with we can let it flow?
Yeah, just holding space for work to be more fun and to flow easily. It felt good. It felt light. Yeah. It was like lightening up of everything.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So you've already paired it to work. Is that what I'm hearing? It sounds like you already had it.
Oh, right? Yes. Yeah. I did that automatically.
Yeah, I did automatically. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so let's just spend a little bit more time with that and help you really embody that feeling of flow, right? I can let it flow, that light feeling, as you feel it all over your body, all the way down to your toes. And go ahead and tap, strengthen it some more. Good. Deep breath in and go ahead and pause. And what are you noticing now about creativity?
Yeah, it just feels joyful. It just feels fun. Like awesome. It'll be fun to sit down tomorrow. Like I got excited about starting the day tomorrow.
Okay. Yes. So 0 to 10, 10 being 100% true. How true do those words seem to you? I can let it flow.
True. 10 seems very true. Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. That was really quick. Do you feel like you got what you needed today, or does it feel?
I did. And I know how to continue, like when there's ebbs and flows with it, like to sit and to recall it, you know, to come back to it. So that would be.
Yes.
I'm coaching myself now, but that's what I want to make sure I do, is I can remind it, and I'll get Matt to help remind me if I fall off the wagon, and just do a little bit of this as a practice. So thank you.
Yeah. So going forward then, right. That's the what are you going to do part of, how are you going to, you know, reinforce this work that we did today? So, and I always let people know that you can use this proactively and you can also use it reactively. Like using it proactively would be reminding yourself on a routine, like every morning at I'm going to have my tea and I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do some tapping and remind myself, bring up that neural pathway, ignite that neural pathway that is associated with flow and creativity. I can let it flow, right? And doing the self-tapping, that would be doing it proactively. Reactively would be just like you said, if you get into that kind of ebb and flow and you're in that ebb, right? And it's like, right? Then you can sit down and go, oh, wait, I have a tool now that I can use. Mm-hmm. I can remember, right? And go through the same process and do the tapping. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Okay. So you've already identified action steps, the accountability piece. If you wanted to reach out to me, you can shoot me a text or email, whichever, and just let me know, hey, this is how it's working for me at a certain time. If you want to check in a few days or in a week, I'm open to seeing that from you. If not, that's okay too.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got what you needed today. Excellent. Okay. So everybody come back online. And let me unpin you so I can see everybody else. So I'm going to check the chat box because I see there's a couple. Oh, there. Good. Okay. So just in the chat box, Mac, I think he's already gone. Yeah. Oh, no, maybe Mac's still there. Anyway. He put some messages in there about links to the academic calendar, links to the Mindfulness Coaching School, and his information. Feel free to copy all that and paste it into a document. My class on EMDR, the Dynamic Trio, starts up again at the end of May, so you can check that out too. There's a link for that. That's what's in the chat box now. Okay, so I wanted to open it up for questions. That was really quick. And she moved really quickly. And that's what I see with the power of EMDR. Oftentimes, you know, especially with coaching, you can get a lot done in a, even a 15, 20 minute coaching call. But when you add in EMDR, I mean, I didn't look at the clock when we started. Was that 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes? We could have spent a little bit more time, but her neuropathway lit up so strongly and vividly that, you know, she was good. She's like, oh yeah, it was a good reminder and I know how to get there. And she felt positive about it. Does anybody have any questions for me about anything we've covered so far?
Who are good people and less good people for this approach?
Wow. You know, in the coaching world, I don't know. I'm assuming you're talking about coaching application of EMDR. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good question. I think, first of all, that when you're looking for a coach, you want to find a coach that is that fits with you personality-wise, first of all, and that also has some good experience. How long have they been doing this kind of work, right? And what kind of training do they have? Honestly, coach, anybody can hang a shingle that says, hey, I'm a coach, right? That doesn't mean that they have the skills, like, for example, mindfulness coaching school, ICF programs teach very specific skills that helps coaches in their profession be able to help their clients in the best ways possible. Other people think, well, because, you know, I'm always the person everybody comes to help solve their problems, that means I should be able to be a coach. And they're going to go hang up a shingle, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a coach. So I'd look for somebody definitely that is ICF certified, first of all, and then somebody that has had EMDR training of some sort.
No, I
they're
mean
going to know how to apply it.
A client perspective.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, that. Okay, so that brings up a good question. When we as coaches meet for the very first time, thanks for clarifying that, Michael, I'm sorry. When we meet clients for the first time, we're going to ask them a bunch of questions, and hopefully within the first couple of visits, we're going to have a pretty good understanding of what's going on for them now and where they want to be and what is getting in the way of them getting to where they want to be. If we hear anything that comes up that is a significant repeated pattern, if they talk about any kind of childhood trauma, if they talk about any traumatic experiences that they've had, those might be red flags for, hey, maybe this person could benefit from some EMDR therapy, right? Other than that, like we've got time. And so what I'd like to do is help you all kind of experience it today and see how it works for you. We're focused on positive here. And, you know, basically the bilateral stimulation, the tapping helps to reinforce, helps to strengthen whatever positive we were in the session that we just did. We were focused on the body. We were focused on light. We were focused on creativity and flow. All real positive stuff. And the bilateral stimulation helped to strengthen that to make it more readily accessible for Alicia. So from my perspective, anybody that's coming in to see a coach can benefit from this, right? That being said, okay, Michael, I see your message in the chat. He's going to listen to the rest on the recording. He had to go. That being said, if you've got a client with some significant trauma history, if it were me, I would be referring them out to an EMDR therapist, and then I'd get a release of information so that the therapist and I can talk about when would be the best time for me to work with that client on the positive, you know, the performance piece of it, instead of, you know, I'm not going to touch the trauma stuff, right? But I would work with that therapist to understand when that best time is for that client. Okay, hopefully that answers Michael's question. If not, Michael, feel free to shoot me an email if that didn't cl- clarify. So, anybody else have any questions before I shift gears a minute? Yeah, let's go to Leslie. Sorry, Leslie and then Marianne, okay?
I just had a real quick question. Thank you very much for sharing your time and the coaching session and being coached. Did you two know each other beforehand? Have you, because it seems so fast. So it was like kind of stacked benefits, right? Because she'd already thought about her strengths. I'm just like,
yeah.
So then that was a question. I assume so. And then at what point do you introduce this into your coaching? Or does it, I imagine it's probably variable with each case. Or is it like first session, we're just going to kind of drop right in?
I'll answer that second part of your question. Leisha, do you want to answer the first part?
Sure, I can. Sherry, I took Dynamic Trio in the fall. So we've just, you know, not too long ago been in class together. And the VIA strengths is what she asked me about. Do you know your strengths? And I've done that through this past year. I've done it twice, I guess, once at the beginning of last year and then once more in the fall. So, mm-hmm. And I use them a lot. I use them a lot with colleagues and in practice coaching and for myself. I find that a really useful framework to talk with people.
Beautiful. Thanks.
So they're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine are right there. Yeah. I don't have to look them up, but it was a great question.
Yeah. Thanks, Leisha. Yeah. And then the second part of your question was when, basically, to use. Yeah. And that I would say depends, right? Like if I have somebody that I've like if Leisha had contacted me and said, hey, I want to do some individual coaching. We could probably in that, and I have done that before, the very first session, not with Leisha, but in the very first session, we would jump right in and do some EMDR work around whatever it is their agenda is, right? So that with coaching, you're establishing an agenda, an overarching agenda for like, this is where I want to be, but at the time we're done with our work together, this is what I want to be different in my life, right? So we've got the overarching agenda. And then each visit, we establish an agenda for that particular session. And so I didn't have the overarching agenda for Leisha, but we went right into what's the agenda for this session today. And then we moved right into it. So the answer shortly is it depends on the experience. It depends on, oh my gosh, you know, sometimes, you know, it depends. Oftentimes I will probably 9 times out of 10 with my very first client, I will ask if they've ever heard of VIA Signature Strengths in our initial call. If they have not, I will refer them and I'll shoot them an email with the links and say, hey, go here, take this test so that you have the answers here and bring those with on that first day. And then it just kind of depends on how much time we have. If I've never met the person, yeah, I'm gathering information. They're getting to know me. So I might not do EMDR. So it just all kind of depends and just how it flows. Yeah. Thanks for that question. Appreciate it, Leslie. Yeah. Marianne.
Hi.
Hi.
So I am a therapist, but I'm brand new to coaching. I have my first class starting on Wednesday in school. Yay. So I guess I was wondering, when I've looked into EMDR training in the past, it's fairly extensive and, you know, they require like at least master's level clinician and it's like 60 hours. And so I guess I was just wondering, like, if I were to take an EMDR training and or take your class, like what would be different in terms of like the clinical or coaching application?
Yep. So clinical application, I'm not going to go into a whole lot because that's not the purpose of this call, but just so you know, you hit the nail on the head. It has to be at least a master's level or in training. I was in training when I had my first training in EMDR, right? I was still a master's level student, but I had to get a letter from my advisor. So you have to have that level of education. You have to have a really good sense of, you know, in the clinical world, we're making a diagnosis. We are looking for you know, what is the dis-ease? I think I heard somebody say that not too long ago, right? We're looking for, we have to identify a disorder in order, I mean, that's just part of what we do in the clinical world. And so we have to know all of, we have to have all of that knowledge before we even go into the EMDR world. And then we go into EMDR training and we're being trained in the standard protocol is what they call it. There's 8 phases to it based on the adaptive information learning process. And there's a lot to it. It is very worthwhile if you're going to stay in the clinical world to, and I strongly encourage people to take that if that's what you want, if you want to focus on clinical work. What we're going to learn here is strictly the performance piece. We're not going to do any processing. This is about strengthening positive, helping the clients identify what is already positive and innately inside of them, helping to fire up those neural pathways that are connected to that and strengthen it even more. If we would have spent, so Leisha went right to a 10, that I can let it flow is a 10, right? That's her positive belief. Sometimes people will say when they first start, like, I mean, maybe it's a 5, and we can, yeah, we have about 10 minutes. Let's do that. Let's see. Did I answer your question completely yet?
Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. So here's what I'd like everybody to do. I want everybody to think about maybe a pattern kind of negative belief about themselves that kind of gets in their way. It could be something like, you know, I'm not enough. It could be something like, I can't do whatever, fill in the blank. Oh my gosh, there could be so many. Let me see. I'm not okay. I'm not lovable, right? I'm not worthy. There could be lots of those kinds of beliefs. And just kind of think about whatever that negative belief is. Does everybody have one? Raise your hand if you've got one identified. Okay, I can only see people. I can't see Cheryl, Christy, or Jeffrey, or the phone caller that I have no idea is. So I'm just going to keep moving. Okay, so now that you've identified that, oftentimes there's a whole lot of yuck that goes with that, you know, with some emotion that's really hard and maybe body sensation. So I want you to imagine a book, big old fat book. And I want you to imagine that negative belief and everything that goes with it. You're going to put it on a page. That page is going to go in that book, and then you're going to close the book up and set it aside. Okay? Now, I want you to consider what is the opposite of that negative belief, something that you would prefer to believe about yourself. Opposites of I'm not worthy would be I am worthy, right? I am worthwhile. I'm lovable. I'm deserving. I deserve good things. I'm okay. Let's see. Goodness, I can succeed. I can handle it. I can let it flow, right? I mean, there's lots of positive beliefs that we would prefer to believe about ourselves. Has everybody got a positive belief that makes sense that might be the opposite of your negative? Yeah? Okay. Rate how true that positive belief is on that 1 to 10 scale where 10 is 100% true. There's usually a little bit of truth to it. Sometimes it might be a 1 or 2. So usually in coaching, that's exactly how I work when we're working with a negative belief is I'll have them put that in a book, set it aside, and then come back to the positive belief. Okay. So then I'll ask a question like, is there a time when you remember feeling whatever positive feelings go with that positive belief? Even if it's just a little bit. Is there an experience that you can remember where you felt that? And if they say yes, which oftentimes they can remember at least one time, then I would ask them to remember that experience, what you were feeling emotionally, where you might have felt it in your body, physically. Hold that together with the positive belief. And now let's do some tapping. And you can totally do this now if you're feeling inspired to give it a try. Yeah. Notice where inside you feel it. It's positive words. Positive body sensations. And go ahead and pause tapping. Take a deep breath in. And what do you notice now about that positive belief? What number would you give it now? Has it changed at all? Did anybody notice a change? Yeah, a couple of nods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So notice that positive change and go back and tap again. Now, if for those of you that notice a positive change, go ahead and keep tapping and just try to tone out my voice. If some negativity came up, because that's oftentimes what happens, right? We have this critical part of our brain or that self-critic that lands on this shoulder when something positive comes up, and we can identify it. Oh yeah, there's that critic. And can you step back a little bit and let me see if I can't strengthen this positive belief just a bit? Letting go of that critic for just a moment, stepping more fully into this positive belief. And pause and deep breath in. Good. And what do you notice now about that positive belief? How strong does it feel now? 0 to 10, 10 being the most true. Anybody experience another shift? Yeah, good. And so I would just keep going until it got, you know, as close to 10 as possible. For some people in that first session, if somebody said, well, it's about a 2, I'm not going to think, oh, by the end of the session, we're going to get to a 10, because that might not be realistic. But if we can move even to a 5 or a 6, I might say, hey, that's some really great progress. How about if we stop here and you keep practicing this on your own and see if maybe you can just keep moving it forward, and then we'll check in around it the next time we meet to see where they're at with it. Does that make sense? So y'all got to experience it just a little bit. I know it's a little different in a group setting here, and nobody, everybody's kind of muted. But I just wanted to kind of give you a sense of how that might work. Does anybody else have any other questions? We got about 6 minutes left. Or did anybody struggle with it, or just like this, what didn't feel right, and you want to talk about it? That's totally fine. Or if you had a positive experience and you want to talk about it, I'd love to hear that too.
I'll say something. I guess I'm realizing that tonight I'm really, 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 really tired. Everything I tried to do was just barely bumping the numbers. Mm-hmm. In fact, the first thing, I set a number, and then as I sat with it, I realized it was really lower, and I was able to get myself back up to where I originally had set.
Beautiful.
So I didn't increase, but rather I lowered my original estimate, but got back to it. And so I guess, you know, it's important the state that the client is in as to how far I think the energy levels, the...
Sure.
Yeah. That's what's coming up for me.
Yep. Yeah. Again, it's driven by a client's agenda, right? If a client comes in and they're just really low energy and they're, you know, they're tired because they've been pushing or just whatever, maybe the agenda for that day is, oh man, I gotta figure out how I can get some more rest. I need to know that it's okay for my body to rest, right? And okay, so is there one of your strengths that we can use to help you with that, right? That's an idea. Is there one of your BIA signature strengths that might help you with that idea that it's okay to rest, right? Or that might be, that's just off the top of my head. It just depends on the client and what's going on for them though, right? That's just a kind of intuition that popped up for me. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that, Matt. That was really helpful. Anybody else have any other questions? Oh, thanks, Alicia. In the chat box, she put the link to the VIA Signature Strengths online. Yeah, it takes about 20 to 30 minutes, and it's free. There's one that's, I think, it's longer, more detailed, that costs, I think, $20 or $24 or something like that. But there is a free version as well. Cheryl raised my hand late to let you know I'm trained in EMDR. Great. This seemed very much like an EDRS session without the attention to the negative portion that EMDR addresses. And I'm not sure what EDRS, I'm not sure what you mean there. Cheryl, can you unmute yourself and let us know what EDRS?
Fat fingers on the keyboard. EMDR.
Okay. Seemed like much like an EMDR session without the attention to the negative portion. Absolutely. And so then, you know, that's a whole other, you know, again, from a coaching perspective, we see our clients as creative resource from and whole, and we're looking for those strengths and helping them to identify those strengths that they already have internally and building on those strengths. And for some clients, it shifts a lot. For some clients, it shifts a little. But the more we do it, there's more shifts over time. Yeah.
A question I just thought of is, do you address the negative like you would in EMDR?
No, not in this format, because we're not trained in. So here's the thing. If I have a client that comes up with something really negative and can't, you know, the book metaphor that I used, that's not working for them. Or it's like, man, Sherry, I have to use that book all the time. I can't ever get away from that negative belief. Then I might consider, because I am trained in EMDR, because I am a therapist, I might talk to that client and say, okay, look, this is what I'm seeing as perhaps something that is more deeply rooted. And we could, so this is, right, coaching is about helping folks figure out where they're at now and where they want to be in the future. It is not about going to the past and resolving past stuff at all. So I would be very careful. Of course, I'm only going to do this with a client that is living in the state of Arizona, because that's what my licensure says. And I would say that I would need to put my therapist hat on, because we're going to look at stuff from the past. If the client wanted to, I mean, it's totally their choice. We can either look at that stuff from the past, or we can continue doing this work. You know, the thing is, sometimes for some people, the repetition is enough to where they're able to put the negative away far enough to where it doesn't cause daily problems anymore. For some folks, it's not. So it's you know, individualized, but that's how I would do it as a, like I said, I'm a clinician. I'm also a coach. When I'm in a coaching session, I'm very clear. I've got different informed consents for both coaching and also my clinical clients. So it's very clear, excuse me, very clear what work we're doing. Is that helpful, Cheryl? Excuse me.
Yes, that's part of the reason why I tuned in today, because I'm interested in coaching and I wanted more information concerning that, especially Perfect. From a DR perspective. So yes, that's very helpful.
Good. Thank you so much for joining. I appreciate you all. And if you're interested in classes, click on the links. I'd love to see you in the trio class that starts the end of May. Sorry for the tickle in the throat. I'll be here. I'm sure this will pass. And I'll stay if anybody has any questions. Take care, everybody.